Call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. So all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have the roll call, please?
Krimko, here. Pyrick.
Here.
Noon.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Conry.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
First off, we have our minutes of October 6th.
Motion to approve.
Is there any discussion or corrections on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next up, we have a council appearance for recreation restructure for Mr. Cioni. I will be recusing myself from this conversation at all, so Mr. Heinrich gets on here.
Hello, everybody. Mr. Cioni, Recreation Chairman. Here tonight to discuss the possibility of restructuring the recreation director's position. Several reasons for this. I think the narrative here over the past several years has been not just on the recreation director's position, but also seasonal park workers. Seasonal park workers, the biggest thing of this, that this position change that I've given you is everything structurally is as far as roles and responsibility remains the same. The biggest challenge here that we have is maintaining a consistent seasonal staff. Every year, it's unbelievably difficult to find qualified people that we want back or that want to work for $10, $11 an hour for the six-month period. Because it's a seasonal position, it's very tricky to find qualified individuals for 6 months. I've spoken to various local colleges for workers, students. We've talked to community service people, and we've not had any consistency. We've had people that were terminated. We've had people we didn't want to ask back. We've had people leave for other reasons. We had one kid this year who's great. He's rolling off. He's graduating, so he's going to work for Pepsi in Piscataway. Good for him. So you're losing. We're constantly either losing or failing to retain qualified people that want the job because it's a six-month seasonal, so they roll off. So one of the biggest challenges here in this ask is I'm asking essentially for a full-time DPW worker to be hired. This person would be a full-time employee, obviously, but they would be essentially outsourced to recreation from April through October, giving us the season-by-season flexibility of having somebody that knows how to drag and line a baseball field, that knows the inner workings of the pool systems, that knows the schedule for cutting the grass at the various fields, that knows how to drag a field. That, you know, just, I mean, it sounds very easy-peasy, like, oh, let's just get somebody, you know, but these things are very important. Different dimensions for girls' softball versus men's softball. Soccer, how to line a soccer field for kids, for little kids, for bigger kids. So, it's what's frustrating for me is that every year we see so much inconsistency with quality of the work that we get, consistency of the work. People don't like to work independently. They need that supervision in order, otherwise they're chased after, and the rec director shouldn't have that responsibility to consistently be there all the time. He or she's never going to be there all the time. So this would be huge for recreation as a whole because it guarantees us consistency in the position. We would pay for the CPO certification of this person. We would pay for the chemical weed and feed treatment certification of this new person. And that not only benefits recreation, but that also benefits the town as a whole because your downtown parking lot could be maintained. We don't have to sub that out. We don't have to sub out weed and feed treatments like we do now for the parks, which costs us money every year. And again, I think it's more along the lines of just, again, maintaining that consistency. Now, we would still have to hire another seasonal worker, because we always hire two. But I will tell you, it'll be a lot easier for us to search for one than it is for searching for two. Like, this year alone, we found we could not find anybody to start working. So we didn't actually have a seasonal park worker start until, I think it was May 1st, when usually we stagger them and start one April 1st, we start the second one May 1st. So there's carryover into fall, so soccer's taken care of. So we didn't have one for a whole month of April. So now you're starting to get into the spring, you're starting to get into the pool time. You know, there's a lot of pool work that has to get done, maintenance. You have baseball fields to be taken care of. We overtook the maintenance of Steinhardt baseball field, dragging and lining that. So we actually get paid to do that from the baseball team, which is great. I'd like to retain that, obviously, as a revenue item. But again, I think for me, I mean, you've read this, and you, some of you may, you know, we could pick things out of it and stuff, but my bigger concern is the full-time parks and grounds worker, because that's essentially what Washington Township does. They actually have multiple people, but they also have a much larger facility than we do. But again, it's the dedicated knowledge that we don't lose every season, that we cannot replace. And by the time that person, new person, gets ramped up, we're already in the middle of pool season. If you do have a new rec director coming in that may or may not have a background in pools or in sports or whatever, you're putting them at a serious disadvantage, and it's kind of unfair to throw that onto somebody who's new. At least he or she could lean on this person and say, well, you know, walk me through. Some of our earlier rec directors had the advantage of park worker Dave Dixon, who was there for six consecutive years, which is a miracle in this world, you know, for that type of role. So Dave had the knowledge. He understood the pool systems. He understood dragging and lining the fields. He understood where everything was and what everything should be. So we just don't have the fortunate nature to have that type of person banging down our doors, begging to work for $10, $11 an hour. So today, the way it's broken out today is that the borough pays a DPW seasonal worker $11,000 a year. And we pay out of our line, out of our budget, the entire amount for the second full-time seasonal person. So if we were to bring in a full-time DPW worker, the salary is, I believe, $18 an hour. So of that, you subtract the $11,000, which you're already paying. So the actual salary is not the big issue. I know it's the pensions and benefits. Now, there's no guarantee that they would want the benefits because they may be covered under their parents if the person's young enough. I don't know. I mean, you always have to think of the worst and plan, hope for the best. I understand that. But I honestly wouldn't be here tonight if I didn't think it was imperative to get some element of consistency in at least one of the recreation positions, because it is, I can tell you it is, I don't know what the answer is as far as you throwing money at people. We're just not getting good quality people. We're just not. I can run through a litany. I think since 2008, we've probably had 15 people in that role.
Victor, I think the biggest question that probably everybody on council is wondering, and Christine would have to answer this because she manages the DPW, do we even have somebody, Christine, that would be able to take on the extra responsibility that he's requesting?
It would be a new hire.
Well, I think from what I understand is Vic is asking for a new hire. I would caution council at this time. We're just starting to do our budget. I know it's important to you, but you would have to let us plug some numbers in before we even committed. The other issue I have is we currently have a laborer, one, who is at 29 and a half hours. I think you may have to consider making him permanent full-time.
Who is this?
We can't really say here.
What, is a DPW worker?
He is, yes.
So that would have to be considered.
It would have to be considered if he wanted to be
in that position.
C- considered for full-time employment, recreation would have...
So you already have somebody working in DPW as a 29.5-an-hour salary employee?
I do,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, okay. I was not aware of that. But yeah, I mean, I don't actually really care who the person is, as long as they're competent and they want to do the work, they care about the parks, they care about the town. We'll work with that person, you know. I mean, we just need the flexibility, and I think this is more of a benefit to the entire community than it is just to recreation, because again, this person rolls off the end of October, reverts full-time back to DPW, and then you got snow plowing, you got shoveling out the bid downtown, you have maintaining the parking lot, you know, those types of things. So it offers both of us a lot of flexibility on in the big picture type of thing, not leaving us short. Somebody calls in sick for a week or somebody's hurt and whatever, you know, then you have issues of shorthandedness that you can avoid, hopefully, with that added staff. Now, I'm the last person on the planet to say grow government, and I wouldn't be here tonight if I didn't think this was absolutely the smart move as far as long-term viability of recreation.
Well, we've had some discussions about why aren't the signs up, that, you know, ongoing things that I think have led us to have some discussion about the possibility of needing perhaps another position. But again, whether that is something that can go in the budget, that is what we need to know. So can we...
Well, I'm not looking for an answer tonight.
Yeah, we would
I'll
have
tell you
to
that.
Discuss
it. I wouldn't expect it if I was on your side, because I've been there, and I wouldn't give my answer anyway today, and I'm not expecting that. I mean, the only thing I ask is that at least by next council meeting, you have some inclination as to which way you're going to go, only because we still have to, well, actually, I don't know, Chris, if this even matters. We could still advertise for the other positions because they're sort of, they're separate from the parks and grounds worker anyway, which is what I'm asking for.
I don't understand. You mean the rec director?
Yeah.
Certainly, you can go ahead and
So it doesn't matter.
No.
So really it matters from our perspective. If we hire a new rec director, does that person hire a pool manager to take care of the pool, like in this proposal, or does he or she also, if they can't find somebody qualified, take that responsibility, and in that case they revert back to the 29.5 hours that we're currently paying them? It's separate.
What do you mean revert back? You're not considering hiring a full-time rec director,
no,
are you?
No, okay. No, because again, I don't believe, and we've had this discussion before, at this time I don't think we need a rec director that's full-time for various reasons. I mean, we don't have the flexibility of position in the spring and summer where you could argue it is a full-time position, and then revert them somehow, scale their hours back. It doesn't work that way. That being said, I understand and I know probably better than anybody in this room as far as what the director's responsibilities and roles are, because I've done many of them. And in the fall and winter time, there's no justification in my mind for a full-time salary. Unless this person, again, unless you're going to grow the programs exponentially and you're going to start doing all these things and this rec director is going to be hands-on in there, getting grant money, doing all these things, doing these fall festivals and doing these programs, it doesn't make any sense. And I know that's not going to happen. You know, it's hard to get new programs off the ground in this town because we frankly just don't have the population density to capture huge numbers of people. A lot of times we have to be lean and mean just to maintain the existing programs at a profitable level that we do without raising fees. I mean, we've kept fees very flat for my entire 4 years now, so that's always a positive. So, you know.
Quick,
yeah.
Seems like a good idea, reasonable idea. Here's the questions that I had, though. How you have it broken out that this DPW worker is going to be basically answering to the park director. I don't know the civil service rules, because we are a civil service.
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, and that's maybe my own misinterpretation, but the park worker, I don't care if the park worker reports to the DPW head, reports to Christine, it doesn't really matter to me. Mm-hmm. It's more of a dotted line from an org chart perspective. It's more of a dotted line to the rec director, because the rec director and the park grounds worker, they have to work really closely together. So it's one of those things, like the rec director can say to the parks and grounds worker, here's the 50 things that we need to get done. that's fine, they can have that kind of relationship. The park director can say, well, I'm going to have to go to Christine and say, here's the 50 things that we need to get done. She's going to turn around to the park director and say, here's the 50 things you need to get done. So at the end of the day, it's a team effort, so they all have to work closely together.
I understand that. You know, civil service rules, somebody gets a bug up their butt.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, the relationship goes good, and then somebody gets a
bug. Oh, listen, that always happens. So if the reporting structure is Christine, that's fine, too.
Well,
or Don
we would
Henry
have to find out, too.
Don Bird. Doesn't matter.
What type of position would have to be advertised?
It would have to be a laborer one.
What I'm saying is, though, is it broke down because we're talking the majority of the time will be spent at the park.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that is a laborer one position. That is the lowest position you can go in the union as well for a DPW employee.
Right. So you also have position flexibility, too. So let's say, for argument's sake, there's another Superstorm Sandy, and I mentioned that in there. You could pull that worker because that's your worker. So, you know, the park has to wait, you know, and something like that. So you have more position flexibility than you otherwise would have today.
How much time has the DPW spent down there this year?
Some of the stuff is unavoidable because we need heavy equipment. You know, we have debris to remove or something like that, or the backboard has to be put back up and it weighs like 300 pounds. Some of that stuff is unavoidable. But we haven't asked for... you know, I need you to cut grass, or I need you to drag and line a field, stuff like that. We haven't done any of that. I mean, usually if that happens, it's because something catastrophic. The person, we can't hire people, the person quits and walks off, you know, whatever. We're in the middle of soccer season. I know if it's November and it's still warm out and our seasonals have rolled off and the grass is this high, and then we'll say, hey, can we get DPW to cut the fields? But that's very, very, very rare. And usually Christine and I...
this year is the lowest...
yeah.
That they've ever spent there.
Right.
In previous years, they spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, so I think we're getting to the point where we are self-sufficient, but we're always going to need them for the heavy equipment and stuff like that because we just don't have it.
Okay, I would be willing to do this, have Christine check in the civil service to find out if there is like a park / DPW and how that, you know what I mean, title. What is required of that? Entry level doesn't have to test.
No, they do not.
Okay. And what's at $18 an hour, I'm thinking somewhere around $34,000 a year, 2,000 hours, right? And what the benefits would cost.
Full time is based on 2,080 hours in the CWA contract.
Okay.
And I use labor one because that's what's in the contract. That's the lowest we have right now.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, but what? All right, so that's
the benefits can cost anything because they have a whole
variety
of benefits to choose from. Mm-hmm. And you have to consider whether they're single mm-hmm. plus
I think the high end was $26,000 for the family coverage. But we also know that goes up every year. So, you know, but they could waive benefits. They could take the lowest plan. They could have the fullest plan. You know, that's an unknown. So when you're planning,
you have to always
think of the worst.
Absolutely, 100%. They're married with children.
But, yep. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I didn't say this was going to be a, you know, easy one to convince you guys, because I understand from being on your side and my side. But again, from a holistic approach, the entire community benefits from this person because it gives you position flexibility and it gives us sanity every year that we know this person is going to be there. We know they know the pool workings. They know how to do all those things. Those things cannot be underestimated. Please, trust me, it's not as easy as just cutting grass. Yeah, I wish it was. Even the cutting grass part, we've had workers that smash the mowers into rocks and trees and fences. You know, we can't keep doing that and replacing costs and all the maintenance and stuff that goes into it. So, you know, nickel and dime yourself to death, you know. But, yeah, I wouldn't be here if I didn't think it was absolutely necessary to have that type of, at least one layer of consistency. Plus the other thing, too, is with this restructuring plan is it gives us position flexibility so that if somebody does leave, not everything falls apart because there's sort of checks and balances here. So I don't know. I'll answer any questions you have.
Now, the ordinance creating the recreation is going to have to be amended?
No, no, I don't think so. There's nothing in there. It just talks about, because, you know, the ordinance talks about responsibilities of the rec director.
What about your bylaws?
Nope. Nothing in seasonal workers, anything in the bylaws. Now, there's going to be times when the rec director and any rec director that's hired should be able to jump on a zero turn and be able to help out. That's a given. That's any rec director. I don't care what we do here today. You know, go on a ladder and paint. You know, jump in the pit and clean a filter. Those things are part of the job responsibility. Everything that the Parks and Grounds worker is doing is also something that the rec director should, in any capacity, be able to do. And in a pinch, will do.
Or to help out, I think.
Yeah. I mean, listen, all hands on deck. We don't have the budget to say, you know, we'll just hire people and have me keep my feet on the desk and dictate. You know, that luxury doesn't exist.
Figure number four for the second page, the $5,000 or $6,000, that's
your
third point.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a cost savings? Is that how that's working?
Well, again, I mean, today, if I have somebody come and winterize the pool, the splash pad, the baby pool, the pool house, all that stuff, they're charging us $3,500 to do that, because there's a lot of stuff to do, right? Same thing in the springtime, to get everything turned back on, to do all this other stuff, to get it sort of prepped and ready to go. Excuse me. And then there's, of course, always the miscellaneous pipe leak, which we, not those pipe leaks. I'm talking like turn the water on and lo and behold, there was water in one of the pipes and it burst, you know, something like that. I've never been here where that hasn't happened. Now, my point is down the road, because of the Veolia project that we did this past spring, we've had no water leaks under the ground, not knock on wood. Now, as far as closing and opening the pool, having this resource here year in and year out, CPO certified, maybe he watches the pool company come in and winterize the pool. Next year, he does it himself with some DPW assistance.
You don't have to be certified to do all of that?
No. Mm-hmm. No. I mean, the last time we closed the pool ourselves was when Melissa was here. We saved money, but it was mixed results because we... You know, there were some things that weren't properly winterized, and we were lucky. But at the end of the day, you know, these companies are all very expensive to do this. So I would love to do it in-house, but you're not going to do it in-house if you're recycling people every year. No one's going to have the knowledge of our pump equipment and our piping systems if you're recycling them year in and year out. Now, this person, well, give you an example, Hackettstown. Hackettstown has two dedicated DPW workers that work in the pool area, work in the pool and the parks. Those two people, I actually met them. I invited them to come to our pool, because at one point I was looking at the idea of maybe subbing it out and having them come to our pool to winterize. But then there was some issues with, can we do that, you know, whatever. Long story short, we still had a good conversation. And they were like, those two guys that work strictly for DPW for Hackettstown, they do all the winterization of that pool themselves. Because they're there, they have the knowledge, they've learned, they've passed the learning curve. They know you turn this valve on, you turn this one off, and you pressure. And I even asked Kevin from Veolia. I said, Kevin, would you ever help us winterize the pool? You know, I said, because we might need a compressor to blow out some of the pipes. He's like, yeah, we got all that stuff.
I love if they've been structured like that, because I've worked there for a number of years, and there were two people that worked at the pool. One was the maintenance director who did what you're talking about, and then there was the person who ran the whole pool.
Yeah.
I guess they changed it.
Well, the one guy that runs the whole pool is Mike Palco.
Yeah, I know Mike.
Yeah, so he's a really good guy, and he's been super helpful. He was the one who hooked me up with their guys. And the one guy that came from DPW, there was three guys that came from DPW. I guess the one guy was like a giant. He was like 6'7", mm-hmm. and just huge, which standing next to me is worse, right? So he was the guy in charge of the other two guys, and he basically laid it out for me and he said, yeah, this is the way we do it. These guys are dedicated to the park and blah, blah, blah. So you have that year in and year out consistency. So that's something that we definitely should have, because then this $6,000 line item potentially comes off, because we can have that person with a couple of other DPW hands blowing out the pipe, doing all that stuff. Kevin from Veolia could walk them through it. And if you shadow these guys, RJR Engineering, from opening and closing the pool, even if it was 2 years in a row, you're going to figure it out. I mean, there's not that much. You know what I mean? There's only so many things that have to get done. And we still have to pay a third-party plumber to come and winterize these grandstands, because none of these engineering firms will touch the grandstand. But that's toilet stuff, that's not huge. Mm-hmm. But even that still is an expense, $500, we'll say, that we save every year and every spring.
So how do you plan on winterizing the grandstand?
Local plumbers. Because really, you're going to have the shutoff, right? So once all the water shut off to the park after soccer's done, then the engineering company comes in to winterize the pool, the pump house, the pump, the pool house, all that stuff. And then the plumber comes in and blows out all the pipes up top and winterizes the toilets and sinks. So that's pretty much what we did last year.
Again, I would just caution council. I don't think you can give any kind of answer next meeting, because we're just beginning the budget process, Natasha and I are. And by statute, it's not due to the governing body until January 15th.
Okay. That's fine. Because
so
now I was more worried about the other.
We don't have
position.
All our revenue figures
yep.
in. We don't have. I can't. It's very hard for me to say where we're at.
That's fine.
Right now.
Again, because this. Again, what we're talking about here is more about the Parks and Grounds worker. I don't actually even need an answer on that until literally spring, really, because everything else pretty much is in-house for rec. The pool manager, the rec director position, whatever changes we make is something that is rec makes. So I'm not too concerned about that, but, you know.
I mean, Vic, maybe just a suggestion, like Christine said, we can't give any answers.
Yep.
It's the budget issue. But if it works out that we can't, maybe you can increase the hourly rate that you're paying somebody.
And we could try. I mean, again, I don't know a dollar or two. I mean, put it this way. If we had a plethora of candidates applying and said, man, if you only paid $13 an hour, that would be great. I'd be in her office 5 minutes later saying, please, mm-hmm. God, I will pay it out of my own pocket. But we're just not. Like, so I don't know that if we're already paying $11 an hour for you know, essentially cutting grass and you know, not like overly complicated stuff.
Right.
I don't know that $13-14 an hour, it's not the salary so much as the fact that it's not consistent work.
Right.
Because they're there, how many people are available for 6 months and then they don't need to work anymore?
You've got to look for somebody
who's
retired.
Yeah, I mean, you're a very niche type of person. You're either going to find a kid who's 18 that wants money in his pocket, or you're going to find somebody who's retired. And there's a big divide between finding those people, because no kid wants to work. I mean, we got lucky this year, and there aren't too many retired people that want to, you know.
Well, I wasn't talking 13. I was talking about, you know, even like what you would pay the DPW, $18 an hour. Because now if you have a college kid or you have somebody else and they say, or works a night shift, and say,
yeah.
Listen, over the summer for those 6 months, I'll do that job for $18 an hour, and you might get them repeatedly back.
I would consider it, but the other thing is, too, it's still coming out of DPW's line item. So even if you raise it to $18 an hour, that $11,000 now becomes whatever it becomes, and that's still being pulled out of your budget. So even if we pay the second person that amount, that's fine, too. We just don't know that we're going to get consistently. Even if that works out and we get two people, how do I know they're going to want to come back the next year? So that's, it's more of a consistency issue than it is what we're paying them and finding people. Because, A, we can't find anybody for what we're paying. And B, even if we did find somebody, there's no guarantee they'd come back the next year for various reasons. They might, you know, get that full-time job that they were looking for. The kid might roll like this, like our kid this year. He's got a full-time job waiting for him as soon as he graduates. That's great. Now we lose that kid. We lose all that skill that he put in all over the summer. So what I'm saying is, it's more of a position consistency thing than it is a money thing. It is.
Did you talk to Mr. Palco to find out if he knew anything?
Last year, when, you know, because again, this is a yearly hunt. We start in January, we advertise to local communities, we advertise to the schools, we advertise to, like I said, we beat the bushes. Even the newspaper, Craigslist, you know, you name it. Facebook, we have almost 1,000 friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
I post it constantly. Hey, look, rec position, blah, blah, blah. So you might get some traction, but, you know, then sometimes you just don't get good people. Even if you're getting people, yeah. I mean, sometimes just getting a body.
We go through the same thing every year with seasonal snow
drivers. You know, it's, and it's, the sad thing is, like I said, it's none of it's rocket science. Once you do it, you know, it's a pretty good gig. You know, it's a repetition like anything else. Even if it's a little complicated on the front end, after a month or two of doing it, you're going to figure it out. And then it's year in and year out, it's the same thing. It's the same pumps, it's the same pool, it's the same this, you know, roll of can of paint. It's not killer.
Yeah.
But we just, like, and again, sometimes, like, I'll look at it and be like, how is this not, how are they not killing for this job? You know, when I was a kid, I used to rake leaves and shovel snow and go door to door and do all that stuff. And I would kill to have this type of gig at 18. But no one wants to do it. So, you know, I don't know necessarily that throwing money at the person is going to make it any better or worse, just based on the quality and quantity of what we've gone through. And we have raised the fee. We have raised the rates. We have given more money. But it's still, you're still not getting...
I was just thinking along the lines.
No, it's not a bad idea.
No, but like landscapers, they only hire seasonal, but they're paying, you know, $18-$20 an hour, and, you know, they have more than what they need.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I did speak to one of the companies we use for our weed and feed treatments and stuff, and he said it's unbelievable how much turnover he has. You know, same thing. I mean, like your point, getting seasonal workers, he said they sometimes just don't show up, and you're left with a client that doesn't have their grass cut, so... they all struggle with the same thing. You know, you're lucky if you get one or two guys that are super good that you can just hold on to and make happy. But the reality is that's just not, you look around at the towns that are doing it well, they have permanent people. And I'm not suggesting we make everybody full-time permanent and grow, but I think there has to be some level of consistency at least in one area of the park system, period.
Anybody else have any other questions?
No.
Chuck, I really appreciate you putting it together. I'm not saying it's a bad idea or a good idea, but the council has to...
No, of course. No, I get it. Trust me, I've been in the budget process, too. But I'll listen to any feedback you guys have individually. If you have want to call me or email me, I'll answer any of your questions. I'll even take you to the park and walk you through what a typical day would look like. But, yeah, I mean, that's fine. It doesn't really have any impact on my... going forward with some of the other structural changes. But it's just, like I said, cost savings down the road. And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to you, Scott.
Next up, we have correspondence from Trans Options.
One on your desk.
So everybody is aware, we also got this nice frame certificate from Trans Options, which I'm sure Chris is going to find the perfect place to hang it.
Perfect.
Motion to receive and file.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on either of the pieces of correspondence? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, at this point I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests.
Good evening. John Monteverdi, Washington, Borough Bid Director. Farmers Market. Josephine gave a great presentation to the Executive Committee of the Bid last week. She's a heck of a salesperson. The bottom line is we're going to continue with the Farmers Market for a second year. There'll be some logistical changes. We'll make some changes in the advertising schedule and the way we put out information. But it went reasonably well for a first effort the way we did it. So we're going to do it again next year. You have two pieces of paper on your desks. This is just an announcement talking about the holidays coming up, the Small Business Saturday and Hometown Holiday. There'll be more information. This is actually an ad that's going to run in the local press so people hold the dates. The other item is this big poster that we're going to be putting in all the businesses on Main Street. If you guys have a place that you can prominently display that for the Night of the Living Bid, I would greatly appreciate it. Most of the drink sponsorships are taken, and we're starting to get people who say they're going to come to the costume party. And of course, you are all welcome, whether you're wearing a costume or not. And that's it. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, John.
everyone. Jay Arrington, Poetry in Motion Productions. I just wanted to update you all on the goings-on with the theater since I was last here on the 6th. Since that time, I have severed my ties with the organization that I was with, and I am now doing this in my company's name. So today I got my articles of incorporation, my bylaws, and my charter, and within 10 or 15 days I'll be able to operate as a 501c3 nonprofit. The business plan is still the same. All the plans are still the same. Building preparedness, fundraising, getting our art residencies in place, our design competition in place to get the architects inside from around the state. We move forward. And, of course, I'll entertain a question or two, if anyone has any.
Mr. Higgins.
Okay. Why?
Why did I sever ties?
Yes.
We had a disagreement on, there was a term that the organization was offered in the lease that they did not agree to. Therefore, the company, the organization could not move forward. Because of my, I dare say, passion, it's a cliche, but I'm living and breathing this project so much, I expect any morning to wake up with a marquee on my forehead lit up and saying, you know, this is what we're doing. But I felt as though I could no longer be a part of the organization because of the creative differences. And, of course, the request was so minute, in my opinion, that to let this project go to waste over that wasn't worth it, especially since I'd moved here to make sure this project went through. So I'm going to continue with my organization. And basically that's it, Councilman Higgins. And I do want to say, because it's been brought to my attention that, you know, I don't know a lot of people that are involved in this in the past. I don't know what happened in the past. It is not my position to referee those situations. I hear the noise from every side. I don't know who you trust or you mistrust. All I can ask you is to trust me. What speaks for me is the building. The building tells the whole story. Which side you want to hear from the building is depending upon what ear you have close to that ground. But I hear the building saying something. It needs us. And the past is not prologue in this situation. Because what I bring to the table is a community project. It's not about this person or that person. It's not about me. It's about the community and the people who are desperate. Some of them don't even know that they need this project. They won't know until it's completed how important it is to the community. And that's why I'm here. That's why I moved here, to be a part of the community that I want to help. So there we are. Any other questions? Councilman Connery. Yes, ma'am.
The people that were on your board that you submitted to us a couple weeks ago, are they still a part of your organization?
Yeah, because when I came here, Councilwoman Connery, I established a separate board for the theater project. Mm-hmm. They were not a part of the parent organization. Mm-hmm. Alan Hayes, Bruce Hayes, Kathy LaCourt, Charles Bodie of the NAACP. Mm-hmm. I have Ryan Saatchi, PhD from Warren Community College. And, of course, myself and my assistant, Shara, who works for the Rizzo Group, and Diana Tyson, mm-hmm. who is the F3 Ballers founder. We all are still in mm-hmm. place. The parent organization of Music Art of New Jersey, which consisted of Mr. Ron Foster, his brother Harold Foster, John Ming, and Leon Farmer, Moses, are no longer a part of the project. They recuse themselves, for lack of a better word. And there we are. So, like I said, I'm sorry.
Was one of the gentlemen the architect also?
No, Mr. Eben, he was representing the American Institute of Architects, the state chapter that is sponsoring our design contest. The importance of what he presented the other night, and the reason why it is so important for us to get into the building, because right now with the fire code violations and the roof the way it is, we cannot even enter the building ourselves. Okay? I understand, you know, that, but from Mr. Eben, what he was doing here, he was talking about the historical aspects of the theater, what the theater could do for your master plan for the community. And, of course, like I said, they are sponsoring our statewide design competition, which is very important, because what that will do for us once we get them inside, they are going to set up the competition. They're going to have a jury for it, which the community is going to be a part of the selection process once the designs are in. But there's also going to be a registration fee associated with the competition, which will benefit the organization. So that's the way that we can raise money. But it's important that we get into the building as soon as possible, because the longer it sits, it's like the old cake, it's like the cake that sits out. It just keeps on dissipating and crumbling within itself. The roof, because it's leaking, that's a major, major problem, because it just keeps deteriorating. So, but again, Mr. Eben was here for those purposes. They are still on board. Everyone that I brought on board here is still enthusiastic. The board that I created while I was here, we just ponied up $1,600 because my production company that I'm converting to a nonprofit was actually a theater production company that I established about 9 years ago because I'm a playwright. Haven't done a thing with it. But there must have been a reason I established it for that, so here it is. It's a theater production company. So I had to pay $1,600 just to convert it. I had to hire a service because had I done it on my own, it would have taken me forever to do that. And within a matter of a week, I got my charter, my bylaws, my articles of incorporation, my EIN. I'll file my public entity forms in the morning with the state. And within another couple of weeks, I'll be able to submit my fee to the IRS. Once the fee is in along with the application, I am technically a 501c3 non-exempt, nonprofit, exempt corporation, organization, which means I can begin to fundraise.
Another question.
Yes.
Have you tried to apply for any grants yet?
No, but believe it or not, I was talking to Mr. Schumann this afternoon about that. We had initially, when I was with the other organization, because they had lost their 501, their exempt status, mm-hmm. We couldn't apply for grants. Once they got the reinstatement, it was retroactive to the day they were revoked. Mm-hmm. But by that time, within a week's time, like I said, I was gone. They don't have a grant writer. And as I told Mr. Schumann this afternoon, I don't plan on writing grants. We have an attorney who's coming on board to the board of directors who specializes in nonprofits. But as far as I'm concerned, I would rather hire a service to do that. The service that I'm using now for my conversion, they offer that service. So we would rather hire them because we know we're getting a professional presentation, and there's going to be what is going to be targeted to the organization that we're soliciting at the time. And for instance, the Hyde and Watson Foundation in Warren County, they specialize in capital projects and restorations. Their last grant that they dispersed to an organization was $450,000 to purchase an old theater. So we target, and whoever your grant writer is has to be able to do that, you know, so.
If I can piggyback on that a little bit, Congressman Scott Garrett's office has people who go out and search for grants, and I've been in contact with them and told them that I'll be talking to them about your organization.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, to see what they can find for you.
Fantastic.
Also.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Mayor.
So my understanding is you can't apply until you get your nonprofit status.
Well, no, it's not that I can apply as long as my application is in. Because when my application goes in, once they approve, give us the determination of approval, it's going to be retroactive to the date on the application. So I can officially begin to fundraise the day I send the application in.
Okay.
Yes, certainly.
First of all, remember, I agree with the whole plan. I think it's a great idea.
Certainly.
I really do.
Thank you.
First thing, I went home and told my wife, I'm like, this is a really good idea. But the thing that I brought up at the last meeting, that I think now is becoming more relevant, I had asked if the $50,000 that you're asking from the borough for the roof repairs and all the roofs, what you provided, if that's contingent upon, like, it sounds like we really, you're asking for that in order to move forward to get people in there to start the project, but you're not going to have the building purchased yet?
Well, I don't plan on purchasing the building right away. And I understand that that is a concern, and Mr. Schuman and I have had numerous conversations on the peripheral about this. Because I was told the other day that there was some mistrust involved with Mr. Schuman based on previous experiences with other people, and that perhaps he would come in and take the building. However, that is not the case. I wouldn't let that happen. I wouldn't sign a lease agreement unless there were specific language in there to that effect. Okay? We have not yet done that. Because of the other thing that came up with the other organization, we did not ever get to the point of signing the lease. But he understands, he has said to me, and I want to make this clear to everyone, he has said to me on numerous occasions, Jay, I owe this to the city. I owe it to the town. And I want to make sure it works because I owe it to them. And I believe him. I have to take him at his word.
And I understand that. It's just from our standpoint, it's a scary thing because we're making decisions based on taxpayers' money. I honestly don't think it really should be our decision. This is a community project, like you said. A community will be helping with it. I think, and I don't know how the council and the mayor feel, that this would be something that the town should be involved in making a decision, not just council.
Well, I can't
put it to vote.
I can't speak to that, Councilman Heinrich. That is certainly up to you.
It's a good thought, but the issue is we would have had to have the question in end of August, I think.
At mid-August. We're too late on that. Your plan was to already have people in there next October, correct?
What, just to open up?
That's what, yeah.
Yeah, that's the plan. And I don't... The funds that I'm asking for of council, I realize that I would, even if you approved it, I wouldn't get those funds until April, probably, right?
Mm-hmm. More than likely.
Right. So what I would have to do, and I've already spoken to some people about this, I would have to get people to come in on the promise that they were going to get paid by council. I don't necessarily, my organization doesn't necessarily have to handle the money. You know, I don't have to have no money. I don't care. As long as we get done what we need to get done. And it would probably be easier, at least it would expedite the project, the process, if someone I hired on the arm, so to speak, to use street vernacular, would have the assurance of counsel that when the time comes in April, provided everything stays the same, provided Mr. Arrington has his letter of determination, the funds will be allocated to you based on the invoices you submit to council. I have no problem with that. None whatsoever, because my motives are pure.
I think you have to give to the nonprofit. You have to give to the nonprofit. You can't, because otherwise we'd have to do...
Oh, you mean to the exactly. As opposed to the contract.
Well, that's fine, too. Well, that's fine, too, Christine, but I... Again, but like I said, I have no problem with oversight, and I am sure the council would want a measure of oversight, at least, even if they didn't disperse, you know, pay out the funds. You know, I have no problem with it, because again, like I said, my motives are pure.
I have a question for you.
Certainly.
In regards to finance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say you get the $50,000 from the tenant.
Mm-hmm.
you apply for grants, you don't get the grants. You've already signed a lease agreement with the theater. What happens when you don't raise the money that you anticipated on raising through your business plan? What happens then? Here's what I need. And I'm kind of along the same lines as Mr. Heinrich over there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be right up front with you. I don't think that it's up to seven people to decide to raise taxes 2 cents to get to a nonprofit. I understand what you're trying to do is great. I wish I had $1 million to throw at you because I'd do it. Here's the issue that I have. We have no guarantee once you get the $50,000 that this is going to succeed. I don't think going to the taxpayers to say, listen, we're going to give away your tax dollars on your word. And I'm not doubting your word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know you. You don't know us. I'm not doubting your word. I trust and believe everybody until something happens. But we have to look into the future. Do you have a contingency plan to raise funds?
Well, we can always, Councilman Higgins, in all fairness to you, if we don't raise the funds, then we can't do it. We can't get blood from the turnip.
I understand what you're saying, but you're asking for $50,000 up front from the council.
Of course. And listen, if I had a guarantee to offer you, believe me, I would. But there are no guarantees. If we wait for every light in town to be on green before we go into town, we're going to be at home all our lives. Every light is not going to always be on green. You take things, the country was built and founded on risk.
Let me ask you another question, if mm-hmm. I can interrupt.
Certainly.
You presented this to the bid.
Yes, I did.
Have they determined that they're going to make a donation?
No.
Did they give a reason as to why?
They weren't asked.
We don't have the money to donate. We operate with a deficit. So there isn't any money in the coffers to put into this. What the bid has offered is advertising support, going door to door to help out. Whatever we can do to help, we'll do it. But as far as monetary consideration, we are not in a position to do that at this point.
I have a statement too. This community does care about that building very, very much. I knew previously, whether the offer still stands or not, I know there was a gentleman who was willing to donate his services and the time to repair that roof for free.
Really?
Correct.
So I need to know him.
My suggestion to you is you need to get out to this community and you need to pull resources from this community because I think you'll be surprised by how many volunteers that own businesses, private volunteers that will come help you clean up. It's not, you need $50,000 because you got to pay for the roof and get it cleaned up and hiring other people out of this town. One of the statements you made is you want to bring this theater building back to life for the people of this town and bring things to the town. That's a good place to start because a lot of people are very dedicated to that building.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Councilwoman, because I've had many people come up to me, tell me they're volunteer here and they're volunteer. And if I could get some volunteers from the community to do the roof, do the things that we need to get done, I have no problem with that whatsoever. As a matter of fact, it would be my preference Victor said, if they're competent, that's fine.
Right. Well, maybe you could put, you know, something maybe in the paper, letting people, not just us in council, letting the citizens know what your game plan is. And you might end up by turning around and getting a roofer or two that might say, I'll donate the materials and the time and labor to come patch that roof for you.
I welcome that idea. I think it's a wonderful idea. And I would ask, Councilwoman, if you still have the name and number of that gentleman you're speaking about.
I can
maybe you should give him a call for
me. But we have more than one roofer in this town.
Yeah, but I mean the one who wanted to do it free.
I think that offer came from a few that were willing because it wasn't just for the business that was previously there. It was for that building. They didn't want to see that building deteriorating to nothing.
Yeah, well, as they say down south, if any way we can skin that cat, it's fine with me.
But if you get it out to the people of town, you might find that cat's going to get skinned a little thinner.
Yeah, like the Warren Reporter or something.
Or even in the Express. You know, you got to get it out there to the people so that they can come back to you with some offers and some volunteerism, some time, who knows, even maybe some monetary donations.
Well, you know, that's one of the things, well, that's a great idea, again, but that's a lot of pushback that I get from people when I talk to them, is that, oh, you know, we've put so much money into that theater already, and this is nothing came of it, you know, the skepticism, you know, and but again, there's no hill for a climber. I welcome the challenge. You have another question.
Yeah, I do. On your estimate here for your roof, it's dated April 24th.
Yeah, that's the estimate that Mr. Schumann gave me. I've spoken to the gentleman since.
Okay. Were they actually here to survey that roof?
I believe he did it from the satellite, he said to me. He's from this area. He knows the theater. The gentleman who's...
He does?
Yeah, his name is Sean.
No, one here is Dennis.
Well, that's Dennis Schumann. He's the owner, okay, but the gentleman who gave me the quote, his name is Sean. He's from...
1569 Allison Drive, Winter Park.
He lives in Florida, but he's from Pakistan.
He's from Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it from the aerial.
That's what he said to me.
Okay.
He did that for...
Dennis Schumann, the owner of the building.
I'm just saying that that's a six-month-old quote, and
yeah,
but it's a working number.
It's malleable. The I spoke. He put me in touch with an organization in New Jersey, PACE organization. Have you ever heard of them? They're a nonprofit government organization that supplements projects like this. And the gentleman from Energy Solutions called me. His name is Bob, and he talked about things, ways that they could fund the project, but it would have to be at the behest of the owner of the building. It was not something as a nonprofit lessor I could leasee that I could do on my own. But, you know, like I said, there are alternatives out there for funding, but they all hinge on the owners wanting to take on the debt down the road. It's like a balloon-type payment down the road.
So do you plan on buying the building?
Oh, yes. That's our lease is a lease purchase option.
Okay. But he can't get that kind of a grant unless you are the owner.
Unless I am the outright owner, yes.
Wow.
And is the owner willing to help at all to do these repairs to his building?
Well, see, that presents a problem if he does that because I'm a nonprofit. Because it's something about capital improvements that I cannot allow him to do.
Yeah, but before you lease it, can't he go over there and fix the roof?
Well, he could. I would imagine. I mean, anything's possible. He could, but he could, but
yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, but in all fairness to you, Councilman, the deal that my organization is being offered.
As is.
Well, it's not necessarily that it's as is. It's not necessarily as is. It's just that it's an offer to me that I would not jeopardize by asking him to give me money.
Kelly, you want to add into that?
Would it be helpful for council to have Dennis Schumann come up here and talk to you folks?
Not really. I mean, he's just not to me anyway. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for anybody else.
And I did see him speak, so.
I did too.
Yeah.
I do have another question.
Certainly.
I'm trying to
phrase it.
Yeah, the right way. Are you looking for this council to say that we're going to give you a definitive answer by this date?
What
do you pick the date?
I mean, from what I heard you tell Victor, there's a, you can't give an answer until a certain date, right?
Right.
Yeah, we really can't until probably February at the very earliest.
So can you move forward? I guess what we're all afraid of, like, we don't want you stuck in some holding pattern.
No, I'm in a holding pattern until I hear from you, unless I get money from another source.
I was getting ready to kind of lean this way and say, I think you should kind of go forward on some ideas of your own until you hear from council, because sitting and waiting for council can keep you from getting what you need to start something.
Now, have you had your meeting yet with the Rotary?
No, that's a week from yesterday. I was going to go by her office tomorrow and ask her if she still wanted me to do the presentation with her. But in any event, ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. I'm going to make this happen, one way or the other.
And I'd like to help you with that. You know, maybe next week sometime you and I can sit down and have a little chat and talk about
I'm
going to
make this happen.
We can make this happen.
We're going to make this happen.
And I think, again, and that's, I think, clear, we all want this to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's a question of how to make it happen.
Right. Mr. Arrington, I really think what Councilwoman Lunko was saying, you got to get in the newspapers. The pitch you gave us 2 weeks ago, get that into all the papers. Go door to door. Get on Comcast. Ask for volunteers. See if there is somebody, and she'll look into obviously the room. But it's just, to me, and I don't think Dave feels the same way, it makes me pretty nervous that a company from Florida gave a quote, actually.
Well, you know, like I said, I got that quote from Mr. I won't defend that. I'm not in a position to defend that. That's what I was given, okay? If it can be done for less money with the same guarantees and the same results, I'm all for that, too. We can put all that money, other money that we save to something else.
Yeah, I'm just worried that somebody they did it through an aerial, but they didn't actually come to here and investigate it closely, look underneath, get up in there and take a look at what really needs to be done, and then we give you the money and find out, oh, by the way, it's $150,000.
Well, according to Mr. Even, the architect that was here that night, and I'll have to reaffirm this with him, but I recall the first time that I had him here, brought him up here before I moved, we went in for a couple of hours, and we went up to the roof. And from what he was telling me, the leaks were coming from specific places on the roof.
The corners and where the stanchions
are that hold up the marquee. Those places like that where the roof has already been compromised with steel or metal. I think he was telling me that's where the majority of the leaks were coming from his experience. Because you have to remember, as he said, his company, he believes, that he worked for many years, designed that theater. So he's familiar with the ins and outs of it.
He's going to look at it and see if it was that organization.
Like I said,
he had to find out of what he believes it was, because based on all of the other theaters that they designed, it's the same design.
Like I said, I think if you put this out there publicly to the people, I think they're going to be very surprised.
That's a great idea. You know, I have my assistant, she's in charge of community engagement, and that's something that I will speak to her about tomorrow, because she did have my presentation in the Messenger. That was in the Messenger with Marion, is that her name? Mm-hmm. That was published in the Messenger, so.
Typically, when I go down to the League of Municipalities, I get interviewed down there, so I will speak about it down there. That's about a month from now.
Uh-huh.
You know, so when you and I sit down, we'll put together an outline of stuff to say.
Well, thank you very much.
I'll get that out there for you.
Yes, but again, folks, I appreciate your time and your attentiveness to the matter, and for allowing me to stand here before you again. And like I said, you know, no hill for a climber. I'll keep pushing. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have John?
Yeah, to speak to Councilman Higgins' questions, what that they can do, part of getting this message out to the community is what we can help with. We have a constant contact list that we put all our advertising out. It's a matter of personal time to develop the piece and then shoot it out. So we can do that type of thing. Because there is real no real monetary expenditure in that. It's more take time to develop the ad, shoot it out to the community, so we can do that.
So your budget, you're going to submit your budget, of course, when Christine does hers, so that it's all part of ours, so that we know what we're going to tax you guys. And right now you say you're running in a deficit.
Most of all, our events run in a deficit. Somehow in the past it's been pulled out where everything's used. I've been actively looking for donations for the things that I'm trying to do, sponsorships, like the sign in the pocket park. We're not moving forward with that until we have enough money to pay for it. So I don't know whether or not I have enough in the budget to backfill any deficit there is in that sign. So I'm actively looking for sponsorships to pay for it.
Okay, at what time the bid had a surplus of about $200,000?
Yeah, we took care of that with the parking lot.
Huh?
We took care of that with the parking lot.
And the last we heard, it was at about 35,000. So you're going to be right there at the end of the year.
I believe so. One of the things that we're looking for to help us generate revenue is to get a license to do 50-50 raffles. Up until now, that's a limited debate for a variety of different reasons. So we're going to refile and attempt to get that license from the state so that when we run an event like Festival in the Borough, we can sell 50-50 raffles and come up on the positive side. We're not there yet, but if anybody here has an idea about how I can get that license, I would certainly welcome the input. So then my understanding is it's been tried before and it's been pushed back on.
Mr. Ola, that's all good with the advertising and the help they'll give you, but I think you really still need to hit the paper. Because it's not
yes.
just the people from this town.
Yes.
It's other towns also. Correct.
Yeah, I got some volunteers when I was here last from people from other towns.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that paper serves a very large area, so.
Anyone else from the audience?
Thank you.
Mr. Michel, you know the drill?
I do. Peter Michel, 28 South Lincoln. The question that I guess would fall along engineering lines regarding the town center project that Dawson might be able to answer. And are you familiar with the Soil Erosion and Sediment Control Act?
Yes.
Okay. Just wondering, with a project like the town center project, is it required that one of those be filed and approved by the planning board?
It typically would be done as part of the planning board application. Soil erosion and sediment control, as you probably know, the borough self-certifies through
mm-hmm.
the local district, the county district, and that review was done as part of the planning board review process.
So there was a soil erosion and sediment control plan approved by the planning board?
I believe it was, yes.
Okay.
It was incorporated into the plan set, as far as I know.
Okay, there was a plat, but was there an actual plan?
I believe there was a soil erosion sediment control plan. Yes.
Okay, and
I'm going by memory, so.
I may have received misinformation. I spoke with the Department of Agriculture,
mm-hmm.
person who handles soil erosion there,
right.
And he said he contacted the Warren County Soil Conservation mm-hmm. Conservation District, that they didn't have a certified plan, and they contacted the borough. The borough said they didn't receive anything. Any soil
that's
erosion
not,
plan?
I don't know if that's accurate. I know that there was communication from
the local Warren County office to provide that information to them.
Okay.
And that is in the process of being done right now.
Okay, so you've received that, the...
We received the request from the Warren County district. I received it through, I believe, Christine, and I believe that information has been provided.
Okay, so that is going to be made sure that it's approved by the planning board prior to demolition or any land disturbance?
Well, it was already part of the application. So
okay,
it was
so.
Just a matter of providing that information to the Warren County Soil Erosion.
Okay.
They asked to see what had been approved.
Okay.
It's already been done.
Okay. I had requested from the Planning Board Secretary, Pat Titus, all the information that the borough had regarding that project, and I hadn't seen that.
I don't believe I haven't received. The only communication that I've had was through Christine and through the Warren County Soil Erosion District, and we weren't asked to clarify or provide anything. The only thing that we were asked to do by the Soil Conservation District was to provide the soil erosion plan and notes and typical details that go along with that, that are part of the plan set that was approved.
Okay, something must have gotten lost in
sure.
communication. Because
mm-hmm.
they were very clear with me that the borough said flat out, we don't have one, we didn't receive one.
I don't know if that's the case.
Okay, if that could be verified, that would be
sure.
great. Okay. The second concern that I have, and I guess maybe some questions, I brought this up to the planning board, so the mayor's aware, regarding concerns about asbestos in the building. I brought up some concerns. I was speaking with Mr. Ray Duran with the Department of Labor, who handles asbestos compliance and enforcement, and he came by the site and he noted, he said, 6 or 7 violations that he felt were violations that needed to be brought up to the person, or the company rather, who was doing the remediation. He felt it was not being done properly. From what I understand, he's currently pursuing that, but he can't discuss it. It's, you know, private affair. But he had other concerns also as to whether the survey that was used, the asbestos survey that was used for that project, was a, I don't know what the term would be. He had some concerns over it because normally the survey, the way I understand it, I'm going to go with best information and belief that I have here. My understanding is that normally a builder would have the same company that does a site plan do the asbestos survey. And from what I understand, that's Whitman. Now, the one who actually did the asbestos survey that was used for the abatement was a company, I believe, was Ace Insulation, who was subcontracted by the demolition company. So the person with the reg, with the Department of Labor, had the question, why wasn't the original asbestos survey that was done by Whitman, which he found out apparently there was one that was done by Whitman, why wasn't that one used? Why was a secondary one apparently contracted or even subcontracted by the demolition company, apparently? And why is that being used? So he has kind of a question mark in his mind, he's told me, in that he's investigating this, and he's not convinced that the building has been properly abated. He has told me that he won't even go in the building with a half mask. He will only go in with a full mask and gear because he has concerns. He hasn't said either way. He doesn't have any proof that there's still asbestos in the building, but he has some concerns. So I brought up to the planning board that there's kind of this lingering question. And
is this the email that you gave to Ms. Titus last night?
Yes.
We did not get that. That's on the agenda for the next planning board meeting. She didn't have time to copy it for everybody.
Okay, I do have a copy if you want to review it personally.
I don't think it's anything that's urgent or that I could do anything about anyways.
Okay.
As far as asbestos.
Can I add something, Mr. Mayor?
Sure.
Peter, Whitman Associates still do the initial assessment normally during their phase one or whatever you want to call it. And sometimes when they're doing a remediation for this type of material, they'll have a subcontractor come in to determine if it's friable versus non-friable. There's two different kinds of asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be why that happened. I'm not sure, but sometimes that's why they do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is the kind that this is. It's the non-airborne,
call it.
Private.
Okay. That's
what
it is.
Well,
I just made that word up, so.
Well, I don't know that anybody here is really expert enough to speak on what's in the building, what's not,
yeah.
More than Ray Durin, who it's his job and he's done it for a long time, and he's looking into the matter. So it's my understanding that Mr. Rice was here a couple of weeks ago and said he's just waiting on a demolition permit and power to be cut from the building, and then he's ready to go. Now, what if there is asbestos still in the building? I was told that if it comes down and there's asbestos in the building, it could create a big health hazard for those in the area, including us. We live right next to it. So would it hurt anyone to really just wait and make sure that the investigation is complete so that you can be sure that there's no asbestos in the building? No, would that hurt? And is there a way to obtain the original survey? He said it would be helpful. I was speaking with Ray Durin, and I said, would it be helpful if I asked the planning board for a copy, if they could obtain a copy of the original asbestos survey from Whitman? He said, yeah, that'd be helpful, but he didn't ask me to do it. I figured I would, and let's make sure. So I went to the planning board. That was what was in my letter. So I guess we'll bring that up next planning board meeting. But
and I don't think there's any reason that he couldn't contact Whitman themselves, you know, to ask for a copy of it.
He probably can. I think he reached out to Ray Rice and received an unfavorable response. We'll leave it at that.
Okay. We probably wouldn't fare any better.
Well, it can't hurt to ask. You know, you are the governing body, and I'm sure, you know, he gives that some weight.
Okay.
So, that's it. Those are my two concerns.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Thank you.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Reports.
Motion received and filed.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the reports?
I have something for the Board of Health report.
Yes.
How many times are we going to have sewage and food floating down the travel pump from the diner? It seems like that's in every single one of these that we get.
Is it the same issue that hasn't been closed yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No change in status.
It changes.
I can't believe that just continues and they're getting away with it.
Dawson, you were on site there, weren't you?
Yeah, we're actively pursuing that with the diner. The issue that exists is they have a clean out that you really won't be able to see right now because of all the foliage. Mm-hmm. It's down at the base of their sewer pipe crosses the Shabbaton. It used to be underneath. It's now exposed. So it's sitting. You can actually see a portion of the sewer main. That crosses. They have a clean out which is just at the bottom, which was really an ad hoc type of situation. So we're in the process of working with them. We were out there with the county health department. We're in the process of getting them to put a new clean out in so that can be avoided. Because what happens ultimately is during heavy rainstorms or heavy flows, when you get a lot of debris. The debris comes by and knocks off the cap on the clean out, and then you get what is described in the report. So we're actively moving towards that. It's been slow.
Can the interim take that cap and raise it by just putting a piece of PVC on
it
there temporarily?
No, we're actually working to get them to relocate the clean out into the parking lot.
I understand what you're saying.
I understand what you're asking. The reality is, because of any single storm, that stem would get ripped off every time the water level rose in that stream, because it's sitting in almost in the channel.
My question is this: has the Board of Health contacted the DEP?
They are handling it, I believe. I'll follow up with the county, because that's who called us to come out. We looked at it together, and I'm not sure what steps they have taken further in terms of, I know what we're
doing. Yeah, my suggestion would be that they do something to fix it immediately, even if it's a Band-Aid, and then go on and fix it. Otherwise, the DEP needs to be notified.
And the county may have done that.
Into it, they're the ones who are going to pay.
I need to follow up again with the county. I believe his name was. I have it in my book. I have the chapter. But I'll follow up with the county and see.
Okay. Anything else on the reports? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do you have any committee reports this evening?
Nope.
I only have one question. We need to have a shared service committee meeting with the police department. Are you, well, with their administration, are you available next Monday?
After 4.
That's good.
Okay. It's 4 o'clock, okay?
Yeah, 4 o'clock's fine.
Okay.
Christine, do you want to talk about Washington Community
it's
Solar.
On the agenda.
It's on the agenda. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Missed it.
Which brings us to old business, since there's no committee reports. Washington Community Solar. Mr. Heinrich, you wanted to address that?
Yeah. The solar study, I don't know if everybody got it in their email. Did everybody receive this?
No.
You didn't get it.
I didn't think so.
You didn't get it?
I don't think so.
No, this is different. That's two different items. That's the school matter. Remember we met with Mr. Rosa?
Oh, okay. And the Washington Community Solar is the field.
Washington Community Solar is the solar farm.
The DPW is
the DPW site. Sorry.
That's in here too, isn't it?
No.
No, but they're talking about hooking up to one that's in Oxford?
Oxford. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
So they were comparing.
Are we
comparing
to discuss this?
I passed them along to the two of you for review.
All right, Scott and I will meet then.
Okay.
Because I want to go over this.
I may have it and just not read it yet, too.
Yeah. So a couple people didn't get it in their email.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, I only passed it on to the two of you because the two of you were on this.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll pick a day and go over it.
Yeah, I bet you I just haven't read that yet.
I think aren't they just a spec for...
Yeah, and I just want to make sure everybody understands what these numbers actually mean.
Oh, okay. So I can pass it on to everybody and then you guys can meet and then we'll put it on the next agenda.
In fact,
that's
I
fine.
Think we should, yeah,
we'll
talk.
Okay, well then, Dawson, you want to do it.
Yeah, Christine and I had a conference call with representatives for the solar project to discuss the PPA, the power purchase agreement, some of the things that are in there and their desire to want to get started. As you recall, I believe it was back in the winter, maybe late last year, they came, gave a presentation after they had received their approvals from Washington Township. Mm-hmm. And they explained that there was an issue with how they had to hook up the solar, that they couldn't do a single service for both the sewer plant and the DPW,
mm-hmm.
and that it would require, or they were proposing, to do the sewage treatment plant as was originally intended, and also to do the DPW with its own solar array on the roof of the DPW building, with the rate slightly lower than what had originally been proposed. And so we got through that portion of it and understanding what the changes to the rates and the whys were. Then the questions became, was the DPW structure capable of holding the solar arrays and knowing that there were already some issues that had to be resolved with the roof of the DPW building. Got through those, they did a study, they They had an engineer at their cost go out, evaluate the DPW roof, determine what its capacity was, and determine whether or not it could satisfactorily hold the solar array. The answer was yes, it can. The roof can do that. They can attach the solar panels by means of what I will call non-destructive, non-penetrative methods into the roof. They'll clamp them so that they don't actually penetrate the roof, so they don't have leaking in those things. So the call last week was really to discuss, okay, how do we move forward? Because we have to affect some changes within the power purchase agreement, or scrap it and do a whole new one. And so we collectively didn't think that rewriting an entire new power purchase agreement really was the most beneficial thing, because there are some minor changes that need to be made. The one change that I think, in order for them to move forward, they need to be comfortable that they're not going to be held to the timetable that was in the original power purchase agreement, which requires them to be online before the end of this year. I don't recall off the top of my head what the exact date is, but they would never hit that date. So their investors and the investment community that they're dealing with want some certainty that they're not going to be held at some point that the borough would pull the plug after they've started to invest money and equipment and other things. And then there's the modifications to the actual rates and some little things. So in, because the rest of the power purchase agreement still holds true in terms of its language, with the exception of the date, what we proposed was making the presentation to council and offering the council to make a motion that it would be willing to extend that date so that they could at least get started, with the understanding that we, Wesley, the attorney, Christine, and myself will get together. They have already sent over a revised PPA.
Power purchase agreement, right.
But we haven't had a chance to review it. Council hasn't had a chance to review it.
We are actually reviewing it tomorrow.
We're reviewing it tomorrow, so that we should be ready and available for the council at the next meeting. But at least they have another 2 weeks to be able to feel comfortable in moving forward.
So do we need to make a motion this evening to extend their deadline?
Yes.
That's
until when?
We could extend it till...
Why not what March for now?
Yeah, they said something about being ready by March. So
I would be willing to make that motion. We're just making a motion to extend the deadline for completion.
For them being online.
For them being online.
For them to be active by, you could say, March 15th, I guess.
Until March 15th, 2015.
Seems reasonable, yeah. I mean, we'll have a date hammered out within the next 2 weeks. That we're all going to agree to, so it's helping them out to be able to move forward.
We have the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Anything else we need to deal with Washington Community Solar?
No. That was the only one.
We have no ordinances, so that'll take us to resolutions. So we'll start with 164-2015, a stop payment.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion on that one? Roll call, please.
Noon?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Okay, 165-2015, a release of grading bonds for Ryan Holmes.
So moved.
Okay. Any discussion on that one? Roll call.
Conrad?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
And 166-2015?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that one? One more roll call.
Conrad?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yeah.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Let's do 167 and 168 together. applications, grant applications for resurfacing of Broad Street and North Prospect Street respectively.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that one? We can do that by voice vote.
You want me to give over?
What do you think?
Yes, do it. Conrad?
Okay.
Yes, I stop now. Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimka?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
We're pulling 169-2015 for the moment. That'll be on our agenda for the next meeting. Which brings us to vouchers.
Make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Yes.
Any discussion? Yes?
Yes.
All right, roll call, please.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I thought you said discussion, but then, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were just saying you wanted to vote yes and get it over with. You're in a hurry.
Got some questions.
Go for it.
Actually, listen, on I guess this question would be directed to either you or Dawson. On the sewer account, on page one there, the Pleasant Valley Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And then here on page eight.
In the regular.
We're paying for the same thing.
I actually had spoken to Christine about that. What we typically do is when we have a new year, we create new projects to follow them on a yearly basis. So that was just, you know, that was an error in a billing to a wrong job number.
Okay.
They're not the same charges. Christine can show you the.
I see the dates are different, but why are we paying? I thought we were paying that out of the sewer account.
I don't see where you see the second charge, Dave. What page?
Not page three of the.
Well, what
regular
said page?
Bill.
Eight.
That's what I was looking at. Page.
Okay.
Page three.
It's
okay.
At the top.
Page three. At the
Pleasant
very top.
Pleasant Valley
yep.
Mill Dam inspections at the top.
Right. And then Pleasant Valley Mill Dam inspection for 2015.
That could be an internal error. We can move that over to sewer.
Please.
Yeah.
It's here, and then it's under.
And we corrected. Christine and I corrected that.
All right. Let's see here. I did say page eight. I'm sorry. But I do
here.
Have. Page nine. Why did I put page nine? Okay, I think I figured that one out later. The air filter is coming out of the Clean Communities Grant?
Correct.
Okay. And this is coming out of the Recycling Tonnage Grant for the very next page, page 10. For the Critter and Litter Craft Workshop, that's a bit?
Yes. That's Diana Dove and her environmental group.
Okay. Okay, I think I got some more.
And that was actually, that Critter and Litter Craft Workshop was actually at the farmer's market. Oh no, that was the 926 one, so that was at the festival in the borough.
Yeah, that one
specifically.
I did have community solar down here for something.
Washington Community Solar is being reimbursed through escrow.
Yeah, maybe it was just that to ask a question, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that was all that. Now, going back to the sewer account. I don't think we're supposed to be buying toilet cartridges for tents for the sewer plant.
What?
Or storage boxes. I think that's on them, not us.
We're not buying it for them. We're buying it for us out of the sewer budget for storage of sewer bills. We have a sewer department here in the finance office.
Okay.
So we can charge certain things to the sewer account for the sewer department.
Okay. Now, are we done paying for the headworks?
I don't believe so. I think I have to check on the date. I don't know how long that was for, Dave, but I will check on that.
It's on the sewer, right?
Yes, it's on the sewer. Why did that put this in? See, I get going on that. My mind goes faster than my pen.
Do I think community solar or?
I don't know why I get big for it. I think I figured that out.
Dave, what, Finelli, that for solar?
For what?
On page 11?
Oh, no, there was something else here. It was a courtesy review of the DEP or the EPA plan.
That's a reimbursement from the EPA. It's a pass-through, and that's going to the planning board attorney.
Okay, then I'm good.
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Blumkow?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Newman?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Higgins?
Sure.
Thompson?
Yes, sir, DJ Park, County Rescue Squad.
What do we put on your list of things to do for this week, anything? Are we gonna leave you alone?
Oh, nope.
No, you probably.
Had a really long list last time.
Yes, so I should.
I'll teach you to take a day off.
I know, that's, yeah, I know. I want, I don't even want to go there. Shared service meeting Monday, we'll schedule that with the township. I'll look into the information regarding park worker, civil service, pension and benefits, which will just be a estimate at this time as far as numbers go. Dawson and I will follow up with Warren County Health Department regarding the diner. I'll pass the information on the school solar. I think it's our, is it just a request for proposal, Mike? Is that what it is? Is the school information on
yeah,
the school?
Yeah, it's
an RFP. It's an RFP, okay.
We gave us the RFP or an example of it.
Okay, I'll pass that.
I'm just going to go over to Scott, and he might be working with me with Lance, too, superintendent. It should be. Well, let you and I talk about it first before we do that. Yeah.
Do you want it on the agenda for the next meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, put that on the agenda. It's so far, Mayor. Oh, I'll check on the end of the Headworks project.
Okay. Brings us to council remarks. Let's start with you, Mr. Heinrich.
Just want to make a reminder, we got the 50 sock hop this weekend, Saturday from 6 to 10 for our seniors. Christine, I was going to ask you if you could, I know it might be too late notice, if you could change the sign in the front, maybe put an advertisement for that.
Sure.
We're
what
trying
do you
to get
say?
As many people as we can. We got Councilwoman Klimko had a lot of donations for food and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So just a reminder.
Is there any cause?
No.
Okay. Okay. Is there information on the senior website? Did we put it out there?
Yes, we
Debbie
did.
Debbie Smollett did put the...
She did?
Yes, she did.
Okay, so I can get the info.
Correct.
Okay.
That's it.
I attended the town hall meeting at Warren County Community College on October 8th. That was basically a town hall meeting with a lot of representatives from Warren County on heroin addiction prevention and recovery. And I know that was a big topic of some of the citizens' questions and concerns at the last council meeting. So it was very good to see the large number of people in the county who are working on addressing the issue, and actually that we have a lot of services right here in Washington to help with prevention and recovery. But it was very clear that there's still a lot to be done. So, but it was a really great meeting. And I actually had, they gave out quite a bit of information on alcoholism and drug abuse services in Warren County. So I know that these are available to citizens who come in and ask us for information about what services are available and what is being done. And even though clearly it isn't enough yet, there is a lot of active investment of time and effort in preventing especially our young people from becoming involved in taking heroin and then in trying to help them with prevention and recovery.
I also attended that meeting. If I can just piggyback on that, one of the shames of it is everybody who was at that meeting was either an elected official or a stakeholder. There was maybe two or three people who didn't have a stake in it in some way, shape, or form. The general public just didn't show up for it.
Hmm.
And I think that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Are these documents available downstairs?
I don't think they are. I think they're in community prevention resources.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which is nearby, but not right here. So, again, those are, they have a pretty big sign to let people know that this is a place where you can get assistance. And I think, actually, that was the biggest takeaway for me from that meeting, was actually how many nonprofit organizations here in Washington are actively working on prevention of youth and, you know, drug abuse, alcoholism. There's actually a lot of services here, but one of the things that they did say was that actual seats in long-term recovery programs for people once they are addicted to heroin are very hard to come by and hard to get into. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. a continued thing that as citizens that we would need to continue to request from, you know, money, because unfortunately if people don't have insurance, that they're not going to get those services, and then the chances of them recovering from addiction are minute.
And even if they have insurance, there's a lot of times
they can't even get in there.
You get kicked out after 2 weeks for a 28-day program.
Correct. So I think that the stress was we have to prevent them from starting, because it's very, very hard to get into recovery programs, and even when people go to a recovery program, they're not always successful.
Anything else? Ms. Conley?
Christine, I just want to ask, how did the time clock go during the summer for the seasonal work program when we were supposed to try that on the seasonal work?
Well, we didn't get the line installed until the end of the year, so I think we... That was discussed at the last meeting.
I think it was like 2 days before the end of the season that actually got working.
So they'll be up and running for next year. And I guess you all want the rest of them to have it on the table?
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Mr. Higgins?
Okay. Some of these things I already talked to Dawson and Christine about. The roads, Dawson? The roads that we've approved to have done this year.
They were submitted to Tilton.
Yep. Submitted to Tilton. Now we're just waiting for them.
We need to find out what the schedule is. I'll follow up with them. That's in the manager's report.
It is in the manager's report.
Yeah, it also says it's supposed to be done in the first part of October, and we are now 3/4 of the way.
Actually, that's school, West Stewart, and Taylor was supposed to be done the first week in October.
And that is now being done
October 26th,
right,
the end of the month.
Okay, thank you.
Which is in the updated report.
Mr. McGuire sidewalk, when did that go out? Last Friday?
It was on your desk tonight.
I didn't get it.
Yes, highlighted it for you.
Green Street sidewalk repair. The purchase order has been done on our end. Dawson Bloom is working with the contractor to set up a date subject to the contractor's schedule.
It's a printed email.
Yes.
This what?
You did.
I did? Okay. My bad. Okay. So McGuire sidewalk, everything is there?
All the administrative stuff has been done. I contacted the contractor. They're on a job. That should last another 2 to 2.5 weeks, and we'll get them out there as soon as they're finished with the job.
Okay, so do you think you could have the contractor at least call him and tell him that, you know, that he hasn't been forgotten about?
I can do that.
Okay, sure. So he's about to make some phone calls that I don't think we want to get involved. Christine, I was in talking to the girls downstairs today to say, hey, how you doing? And I saw all these boxes stacked up behind Sue and Paula. I get those two confused. Who's that as soon as you walk in?
Paula.
Oh, okay, then it was the head tip. All of those boxes there. I remember when we did the sewer plant, we did a climate control room specifically for storage.
That is being set up for destruction.
What is it?
Some
of that stuff downstairs?
Yes.
Okay. Are we using that thing down at the sewer plant?
We are.
Okay. Good. Okay. Gardner's Court?
We have 2 quotes for the work. They came in substantially lower than we estimated. We're waiting on one more, which we should have tomorrow, and then we'll be able to move forward.
How long? Before, once you get your quote,
it's just a matter of having Veolia coordinate with them at that point, because it's actually their contract.
Okay. End of the month?
that's feasible.
Okay, we're going to have a shared services meeting. You're going to try for Monday at 4 o'clock. Okay, Mr. Arrington was here tonight. Do I still need to contact him?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, I will do that. The last meeting, we had somebody come talk about the weeds and trash down by the dollar store, the Jewish center.
Soon as I send a report, she's
I went down, just so everybody knows, I drove through there today.
Yeah.
There is still trash in
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
I mean, where they cut the weeds down,
mm-hmm.
that's okay, but there's still trash in
mm-hmm.
the I don't know who's responsible for that. I don't know if it's the dollar store. I don't know if it's
mm-hmm.
the property owner. I don't know if it is the two apartments, but there is still trash along
it's
the
fence. A lot of trash.
Okay. All right. Clash Road Bridge?
I'm sorry?
Said it, whatever his name?
Say that again?
The Clash Program, you know, when they come to the curbs? Lieutenant, whatever his name is.
Oh, I can't remember his name. I don't have a scheduled date from them yet. The request is in.
All right. Stan Prater. At the last meeting, we were talking about putting an inverted speed bump at the end there. Of course, I had my wife call from the senator's office. Stan Prater is under the impression that that's her owned property. At least that's what he told her. And I know
well,
that you guys have been out there at the end of North Lincoln.
The dirt road.
That, yeah. He's saying that he's under the impression that the borough owns that. And I know you guys have talked to him at length
mm-hmm.
about that being power company property.
Mm-hmm.
JCP now.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we go from here?
That it's JCP&L's property.
Yep.
It's not public driveway.
Driveway.
As far as I know, the utility company owns the property.
Okay.
He must have misunderstood
maybe
what
he
was
did.
Asking for
I
because
actually,
he knows it.
We've actually, maybe he was just trying to appease her too, and that's the point that I'm trying to make here. He talked about where the road ends and the dirt begins, the blacktop ends and the dirt begins that goes up, I guess you take it all the way up to New Street?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said he was under the impression that that is borough-owned property. I'm just saying, we're trying to help these people out there on North Lincoln Avenue. Somebody needs to address that.
Don't you think the entire piece of dirt roadway is like an inverted speed bump? Have you ever driven down there?
Because
if you hit it going more than 20 miles an hour,
well,
you can take out the front end of your car.
Here, we could gate that, and then we would find out that they owned it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
It's ours.
Or we could gate it at the end of our property.
Right. Dave, I have a good relationship with Stan. Let me call him.
Okay. Let's see here. That's dollar store trash. Let's course. There's craters. Okay. It is now October 20th. Do we want to go out for professional service quotes or what do we call them? Requests for proposals or requests for quotes from our professional services? That would be sewer engineer, borough engineer, attorney. Who else do we deal with?
Auditor. Bond attorney.
What attorney?
Bond attorney.
We didn't do a bond attorney though, did we?
We'll be appointed one every year to write our bond ordinances.
Here's the bottom line. I don't want to get stuck without having something in writing come January and we reappoint, get Bart and Caesar and Finelli, and we don't know how much they're charging us.
Uh-huh.
I would like to know that before we make the appointments.
I mean, personally, I'm happy with our professionals, but it would be nice to have
something.
Their costs.
We've done that before where we haven't said anything and then get a rate increase in January.
Yeah. So is it, you're just looking for a standard one letter, one page?
Yeah.
What's
your
cost
for
our
next
year? This is what it's going to be?
Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay.
So do we want that from all of the professionals?
Yeah.
I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. I'll request it from all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. For budgetary purposes. Mm-hmm.
Scott, I have a question specifically for you. Who else sits on the planning board?
Ethel.
I have a question for you, too. I saw a bill in there for work up for the cemetery.
Yes.
Can you give us a little update on what's going on over there?
The cemetery asked for a meeting with the technical review committee.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
As a, what could they possibly do up there if they purchased that entire tract of land?
Mm-hmm.
They met with the technical review committee. They put in an escrow amount to pay for the professionals to be there. So that's what that's all about. There is no application before the planning board at this time.
Okay. I actually have a question for John, if I might deviate from here.
Okay.
I was a little concerned about what you said, and, you know, we're trying to get this guy here, and Josephine, you're on the bid thing on this. We're trying to get this guy to come in and do the fair. And I'm not saying that I want the business people to pay for it. But as part of the plan, as part of the charter for the bid, wasn't that part of what we do to help businesses? I'm a little concerned.
Let me expand on my answer. When Jay Arrington met the bid board, which was 53% of the bid board, Thursday before he came in to see you guys, he presented, his presentation was long on hope and vision and prayer and light and emotion. There was no business plan.
Yeah, at that time they didn't request any money.
Right.
Okay.
They didn't request any money of the bid. That being said, it was not as impressive as it could have been to a group of business people. The only reason you guys got to see a business plan was because the bid let them know that coming in to see you guys, what he did that Thursday night was not going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is, I'm not saying that we're not going to help them from a monetary standpoint, but based on what we saw that Thursday, there was no help for it coming.
Okay, is there a plan for him to come back with that business plan?
Sure. I actually presented that business plan to the entire board in the form of an email and a synopsis of what took place here that Thursday. And I guess at our next board meeting, we will discuss how we can help.
Was the festival about, or was that moneymaker?
We didn't lose as much as we thought we were going to lose.
It was not a moneymaker. And nor was the farmer's market this year.
Farmer's market was the only event that we've had since I've been here that made money was the Art and Craft Beer Festival, and that was because we sold beer.
A lot of beer.
Now you attract people. Alcohol.
Not a personal beer. Yes. At the festival,
I'm not allowed to do that.
Well, the festival in the borough, the beer is sold by the firemen. And that's an agreement we have with
don't
them.
Do a wine test.
So I don't know if that helps you. It's just that we are not there yet. And
I know.
Based on recent events, which the board has been kept apprised of, my board has been kept apprised of.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank you. I'm good.
All right, Ms. Klumko.
I was going to ask you about the clap program also, but didn't we ask about that a couple months ago when it was the farmer's fair and they said we were on their list, they were just cleaning up from the fairgrounds?
Yeah, but they haven't given me a date yet. You can be on their list and they've got other people who submitted.
Right, but I thought they said we could, like, we were next after the cleaning up.
I don't have a date yet, but okay. I'll follow up.
Okay.
I made a note to follow up.
Okay. And then you and I, Christine, we addressed two of these issues?
Right. The two ordinances we discussed were the car parking on the street. Leslie is revamping that. The landlord registration. Leslie is revamping that ordinance as well. That came from you. So when Leslie's here, next time we'll go over those, and hopefully I can have something in maybe this week's manager's report, but I think she has gone the end of this week, isn't she, Tara?
I am actually not sure when she gets back, but
okay.
She is answering emails.
Okay.
So I can email her to remind her. It's the landlord registration ordinance and the parking ordinance.
Yes, she'll know. We discussed
okay.
it. What is it, Rudy? An and or?
It reads and where it should read or.
Yes, it's 55 dash.
15.
15.
And 30.
Yes,
so. And 66 dash 3, right?
That's the landlord tenant registration.
Correct. And then,
the other trailers. Right, I went and pulled the trailer ordinance. Rudy, we did adopt it as is. I have a copy right here.
We did. We talked about revising it later.
We did talk about bringing it back and modifying it, but we didn't modify it.
You want me to start enforcing it as is?
Shouldn't it?
They keep the ordinance.
Okay, ma'am.
It's gonna be down.
Okay, that'd be great tomorrow. Throwing your mind.
I know.
And also, as a council, Rudy brought to attention that we have some signage up that we have no ordinances to support. So if we put up a handicap and they're not state mandated handicaps out here, you can't enforce them, correct? The parking for the fire department, you can't enforce that, correct?
Right, and in parking lots, yes.
Correct. So is there something we can do that we put the signage up, but Rudy can't enforce them if the parking isn't being properly done because there's no ordinance to support the sign?
Streets committee said we need to redo the street parking ordinance.
Yeah, it's easily done. It'll give him the power to enforce it.
Right.
Yeah. So does that have to be done through the streets committee if it's parking signs?
Pardon me?
Does that have to be done through the streets committee if it's parking signs, or can it just be done by?
It should start there.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, if the signs are there, all you have to do is just get the ordinance that's there and add that. Where we have the mm-hmm. parking,
mm-hmm.
so you know the lot behind the mm-hmm. borough hall that's designated for
mm-hmm.
two handicapped spots and five fire department spots. You know, then he can write the tickets.
Does he have any authority to do that?
Right now he does that.
Right.
There's just signage there, but he has no authority to support that sign.
Right.
So the streets committee has to revise.
Well, listen. If you just want to make a motion now that to have that drafted, that change drafted.
That's easily done.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion.
To include the parking lot out back.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Anything else, Ms. Klimko?
And I think that's it. If there's anybody that wants to attend the game Saturday night, everybody's more than welcome.
I pretend to be old.
You are old.
Thank you.
55 and older.
Yes.
Well, I can't. Mr. Thompson.
Just one thing. We can do the Christmas trees this year?
Yes. It's already been ordered. The lights have been ordered.
Any approval?
By council?
So?
Yes. I took it out of buildings and grounds.
Okay.
I figured we'd... wanted to wait, I might as well schedule it, because if he gets busy, he won't get here to put the lights on.
And do you see a tree light same time the downtown has it?
They're going to coordinate.
Same price as last year, $750.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. The only thing I have is that I neglected to mention this at our last meeting, that for the festival in the borough, we had the pleasure of hosting Congressman Scott Garrett down here. I got to walk him around, introduce him to some of the more important people in town. He was here for about an hour, and he's also looking to do some type of recognition for young Mr. Murray also. So I've given him various contact information for people to go forward with that. And that's all I have. I guess we would need Resolution 171, 2015 for an executive session after a 10-minute break.
Yeah.
Almost. Second.
Okay. Any discussion? What's the purpose of this?
To discuss the pending
litigation.
Litigation.
Okay. All in favor?